Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Blog Talk Radios. This is Ann Ortley. This is my weekly weather show where I talk to you about the cosmological phenomena in the week ahead, what you can expect, what it's going to feel like, and how you can work with the energy in a positive and productive way. So I am an astrologer, and I write a column every week, and twice a month I write a new moon or a full moon column. And my goal is to make astrology accessible and to help people use it so that they don't feel overwhelmed. Because when I first started learning, somebody asked me this the other day, and I thought, oh, that's an interesting question. And I thought, well, cover it. When I first learned astrology, I was like, wow, this is an absolutely amazing system. It totally works. I can see it happening. It's like, wow. The second thought is, how come they don't teach us this in kindergarten? Because we should learn it like reading and math. And then my third thought was, well, they don't teach it to us because then we would know too much. Then my next, you know, of course I have a Pisces moon, so I can be a little paranoid. Then my next thought was, well, you know, if it's got all this really cool stuff, then how do we work with it to maximize the process, to help ourselves and to help other people that we know and love get to the best life they can have? And so that's kind of why I started becoming an astrologer was, geez, like, you know, I'm a Virgo, I like to fix things, so let's just try and fix people, not really, but you know what I mean, help, at least say, oh, higher, lower forms, lower form looks like this, higher form looks like this, which way are you going, and give people the option and the choice, the ability to make their own choices and to understand what's going on with them and how to work with it. And so the purpose of this show is kind of an extension of my weekly weather column, which is read around the world, interestingly enough. And now I talk, too, because I do like to talk. And secondly, I think it gives a different vehicle for people. There's another way to hear the words, another way to feel the energy, another way to talk about it. So when we look at this week, which is the week of November 2nd, 2009, what we notice is we have a kind of a busy week. Now, some weeks are busier than others, and this is going to be a little bit of a bustly one. We have a couple big things happening, and then we have a bunch of smaller stuff going on. So we're going to start with the big things because they always seem to have a little bit more of an impact. So on Wednesday, the planet Neptune is stationing. And what happens when an outer planet stations is the day or two before, which means Monday, Tuesday, and the day or two after, which means Thursday, Friday, we kind of feel the energy. Now, Neptune is the planet of illusion, delusion, drugs, alcohol, fog. He rules God. He rules the higher vision. He rules inspiration, redemption, creation. He's in charge of the oceans. He's in charge of water. He's kind of a big guy. And when he stops in the sky, you know, when any planet stops, we notice. But when one of the outer planets stop, we tend to notice even more because they don't really care about us. We call them transpersonal. And what they do is they kind of make us go, oh, wow, man, big planet stopping in the sky. Big stuff happening here on Earth. So we can expect some Neptune stories, waters, floods, you know, fluid, a lot of fluid, drugs, alcohol, stuff like that going on. And we also can expect that Neptune's higher and lower versions will show up in our life. Now, the lower version are leaks, you know, when you have leaky things. The lower versions are things that kind of spread a little insidiously, like mold or mildew that you don't really know you have. On the higher version, though, it's kind of more your dreams, your visions, your hope for the future, the what you want in your life, the clarion call of your future. Now, what's been happening this year is Neptune has been hanging out with two other planets. So I've been calling them the Gang of Three. He's been hanging out with Chiron in Aquarius, and he's been also hanging out with Jupiter in Aquarius. Now, he meets up with Jupiter every 13 years or so. The next time he meets up with him is in April of 2022, which is a ways away, 13 years from now. And he's going to meet up with him again this December, okay, on December 21st. And he met with him in the spring, and then he met with him in June, and now the third time is now. So in the culture, it showed up as swine flu. In your own life, it showed up as the dream changing or shifting. So think about how your dreams for yourself or the dreams for your future have changed since March, revised a bit in June. and now we're ready, really starting to kind of crystallize. So as Neptune stations to go direct, he's going to move forward, and then what's going to happen is Jupiter and Chiron are going to catch up to him, and we're going to have those three planets meet in the sky again. Now, they met all together in June, but that one was kind of that was the dissolving of things. We lost a bunch of people. We had a bunch of people die, Michael Jackson, the summer of death and all that. And now that those deaths have happened, now we're ready to go forward with the new structures. And to a certain extent, there could be a dream of yours that changed or died last summer, last spring. And that can also be part of what you're doing now, is reconstructing what that vision, that dream, that hope looks like. Of course, it did show up as swine flu, that, you know, the surfacing for it, the kind of disappearing in the spring, this in June, which of course is the end of flu season. And now it's back, and now we can expect on Wednesday that we're going to have a little bloom of swine flu that will run through December, kind of expanding and growing. And the other thing you're supposed to be working on when Neptune joins with Jupiter is your dreams. Now, technically, they're in the sign of Aquarius, and Aquarius is the ruler of the 11th house. And the 11th house is the house of your hopes and dreams, your wishes for your future, your vision of what your life can be like, your collective hope. And it also is the house of love given and received, because the 5th and the 11th are the houses of love given and received. So in some cases, it's the love given because you're the audience member. And in other cases, it's the love received because you're receiving the gift of love by the union of Jupiter and Neptune. So when we look at this aspect, and Jupiter and Neptune are now going to start to close up their space and perfect on December 21st. But the station this week of Neptune says, okay, I'm ready for my new dream to go forward. Whatever the old dream was, kind of dissolved. Time for me to have a new dream. And then Jupiter comes along and he says, okay, bing, let's start the new dream. And that's the process that we're going to be working on over the next few weeks. Now, one of the things that I find when Neptune kicks up, you know, wherever you have Neptune in your chart is what you consider to be God, either lowercase g or uppercase g. It's the area you worship, you find divine, and that you have trouble looking at in a more mundane way, you know, because you view it as something special, something beyond the pale, something that's not to be, what's the right word for it, that's not to be diminished by anything merely mortal. So where you have Neptune is kind of a place that you really believe things should be handled better. There shouldn't be any little grubby problems with that area of your life, because it's where God lives. It's what your belief in what's inspired and divine is. So when Neptune stops, one of the things that happens is one of our gods or two of our gods can kind of show up with clay feet, or the things that we really had a great deal of faith in or believed in really strongly can shift. We cannot look at them in quite the same way. We see them on a different level. The lights come up, and suddenly what looked like this wonderful, beautiful thing is a little shabby looking and a little run down looking and maybe not as magical or illusionary. It's like how when the lights come up at a party and you look around and there's like a lot of beer bottles and glasses all over and the candle light looks really, whereas just a minute before with the candle lights and the music, it was magic. And then the lights come up and it's back to the gym or back to the, you know, I'm thinking about my childhood years, you know, back to the rascaler where it's like, okay, final call, time to go home. They turn the lights on, everybody goes blink, blink and goes home. The illusion breaks. So as Neptune stations this week, one of the things that's going to happen is the illusions that we've been working with are going to shift and change. We're going to see them in a different way, and we're going to come to know them in a different manner. So that's very, very important. The other thing that's happening is Venus is changing signs on Saturday, and she's going into Scorpio. Now, the reason we're really paying attention to Venus these days is she rules Saturn, because Saturn's in Libra, and Saturn rules Pluto, because Pluto's in Capricorn. So when Venus changes signs on Saturday, we can expect Pluto to get a little stronger, Saturn to get a little firmer, and Venus in Scorpio is kind of a tough placement because Venus in Scorpio is technically her fall. She does not like being in Scorpio. Because Venus is supposed to be about love and goodness and gloriness and beauty and grace and generosity and all that, and when she's in Scorpio, she's a bit of a hooker. She's a little bit of a gum chewer, gum popper. And on a bad occasion, she can be a bit of a courtesan or a working girl. On a good day, it's hot sex and really passion and it's wonderful, but it is Scorpio, so there's usually a triangle involved, so it's hot sex with a married person. So when Venus goes into Scorpio, we can anticipate that the passions that have been ruling the day are going to get a lot more intense because Scorpio just makes everything hop. And Venus is going to be in Scorpio through the end of the month. And then December, she goes into Sag. But she's in Scorpio through the back end of the month. So we can expect this month to be hopping and a lot of activity going on as Venus enters this sign and makes the passions get bigger, stronger, and livelier. The other thing that happens when Venus is in Scorpio is we get a little bit more of a backdoor dealing. We're normally, she's pretty straightforward in the way she deals with things. She says, oh, yeah, I'd really like that. That would be really cool. Thank you. When Scorpio is involved, she's a little more hold her chest to the cards to the chest, and not let you necessarily see all that's going on because she's not 100% sure she wants you to know yet. So there's a shiftiness that's and I mean I say that, and I have Venus in Scorpio, so I know of which I speak. There's a shiftiness that's going to come in on the 7th. So we can expect a lot of wheeling and dealing, especially with the healthcare bill, especially with everything, because when Venus goes into Scorpio, it just gets more intense. And she now is in charge of Libra in the sky as well as Pluto, because he answers to Saturn. So this month is going to be a little intense on the emotional thing. The other thing we have this week is a full moon. Now, the full moon is actually pretty nice. The full moon's in Taurus, meaning Venus rules it and Mars rules it, because, it's a full moon in Taurus, meaning one part of it's in Taurus, which is answering to Venus, and the other part is in Scorpio, which is answering to Mars or to Pluto. And so there's a lot of energy that's pretty positive around the full moon. The full moon is at 2:14 p.m. on Monday afternoon. And so we've got Venus trining the Gang of Three, saying, oh, let's come up with a new set of hopes and dreams. We've got Neptune stationing in the sky, and she's exactly trine to Neptune. So Venus is also going to be talking to you this week about what it is you really want. And she's in Libra, so she really does want to understand what you're looking for. So as the dreams have dissolved since last spring, what you want to do now is come up with what your new vision is for yourself between now and December 21st, but really starting on this full moon as it comes to light and as Neptune stations this week to move forward, because we're now the Gang of Three. All three of them have now shifted direction. Everybody's moving forward, and in this case, we're ready to partner. And also, Juno is moving direct this week. Now, Juno, I had a little question about because she's in Pisces, and I kind of thought, why can't she be going direct already? But I contacted Solar Fire, and they assured me that no, she's stationing direct, and she is going forward in Pisces. So maybe an optical illusion, whatever. At any rate, Juno's supposedly going direct too, so how we partner with things is going to shift also. So we've got a lot of energy about partnering, relationships, connecting. That makes this a big week for relationship energy. Because Venus trining Jupiter, Juno, Venus trining Jupiter, Uranus, and Jupiter, Chiron, and Neptune, and in conjunct to Juno and Uranus, makes for us shifting what we're looking for in a relationship. What we always thought we wanted was XYZ. And now we go, I don't think I want that anymore. I think I want something different. I want to partner in a different way. And this is also, part of the thing that happens a lot of times with people is they get a bug on, at least in my experience as a counselor of an astrology client, they get a bug on about something, and they want this, and they want this, and they want this. And they get it. And then they get it, and they go, wow, not really what I thought it would be. And that's kind of also the energy that's going on this week. Like, if the dream comes through for you, say, gee, great, wonderful dream, but I'm not sure I want it 100%. However, I'm going to say yes right now because we've got lovely aspects to say yes. Neptune is stationing, so I know that in some way, shape, or form, this is an illusion, and I'm not seeing it clearly. However, once it goes forward and it gets a little move on and it joins up with Jupiter in December, I'm actually going to know what I really want. So my job this week is really to sit and listen quietly. As Neptune is also your soul, in a sense, because it is your connection to divine and God, and sometimes we connect to false gods, you know, which is part of one of Neptune's issues when it gets really crazy about drugs and alcohol or some of the lower forms. But on the higher form, it is connected to spirit. It is your connection to the divine. So this is also when a planet stops is a really good time to assess where you are with your soul, where you are with your beliefs about your life, where you are with what you want for yourself. Don't run, just assess. So a few minutes before the show tonight, I was talking to a friend of mine, and you know, she's working on money stuff and she's working on value stuff. So she was talking about, you know, maybe needing to change a job because the job she's at, she's not making enough money, and it's a sales job, and you know, it's just a little crazy. So then she says, well, you know, I figured out what I need is I need $69,000, right? And you figured out her mortgage, figured out her credit card payments, daughter's tuition, she's a single mom, yada, yada. And then the next breath she goes, and I'm making this much. So that means I need to get a part-time job that pays me $25,000. So I'm like, well, you know, $25,000 is $2,000 a month, which is $400 a week, which is a lot for a part-time job to pay. Maybe what you need is a job that just pays $69,000 rather than taking your life and spreading it even thinner than it already is, you know, by taking that extra, you know, to make the extra $25,000, you're going to have to do something. And maybe it would be better to get a job that pays that much so that you, you have more time to spend with your daughter, which is one of the things you say you want to do. And you don't want to have such a chaos, crazy life. Well, two jobs, trying to put things together, that's kind of a lot. So we were talking about it, and it was like, she was like, right, you're right. You know, and she goes, yeah. And it's that kind of time. You know, like she has the plan. She knows what she needs. She goes, let me go get another job for $25,000. It's like, no, wait. What does your soul want? Does your soul want you to spread yourself even thinner? Make yourself more stressed, make yourself more crazy. Take the time to look for the job that pays you more. Take the time to take your experience and all the stuff you've done and go find a job that actually pays that salary that you need to live on. Or, you know, concurrently, she could also figure out ways to cut her expenses and live on the salary she's making. But she was used to making more money. So there's a contrast there. There's a fight. But there's a soul in there, too. And so this is the week to sit and listen to the soul and say to the soul, well, what do you want? And have your soul say to you, well, what I really want is this. And then to try and get your soul what it wants. Because if you do that, Neptune is God. Neptune is the divine. It brings in what you truly deeply need. It's the higher octave of Venus. So when you're working for your soul or you're working for what your divine heart needs, it happens. It creates. You give the universe room to create the wonder and the magic. You give the universe a space to create for you as opposed to, okay, I'll go find a job for $25,000. It's like, well, you want to find a part-time job for Christmas because you need some extra money for Christmas. Ah, I can see that. But, you know, maybe what you need to do is look for a higher-end job or figure out how to get your job, get your resume into higher-end positions. And she said, well, I talked to a headhunter who told me she didn't place anybody but vice presidents. I said, well, that's good. So why don't you ask her, what do you have to do to become a vice president? And maybe a vice president in a smaller company. You don't have to be a vice president in a big company, but you need, you know, that would get you your $69,000. it's understanding that this place that we're at, this moment in time, this time to choose as Neptune stations, our old life, our old dreams have shifted. Our new dreams aren't in yet, but they're in process. We're working on creating them. And you want to be really conscious about what your dreams are that you're working on this week, because the universe is listening as Neptune stops and as the Venus moon, the Venus, the ruler of the moon, trines that Neptune. Venus also squares the nodes. She squares that Capricorn north node and the Cancer moon south node. And she says to the nodes, well, I can go left or I can go right. Which way do I want to go? And I always encourage you, when the nodes are getting squared by a planet, is to choose love. And in this case, love is Capricorn. It's finding the job that actually serves her work needs more than her moon needs, her Cancer needs. Because the moon in the south node in Cancer is saying, oh, Taurus, Sun, I need more money. But the Capricorn ruling the north node says, oh, gee, let me partner with myself in a healthy way and find a way to move forward towards what I really want. And that's that north node in Cap. So when we see that, you want to kind of push yourself this week to choose the higher vision and to look at the things that you've fallen in love with, or the things that you've called God, or the things that you've looked at and said, gee, this looks absolutely fabulous. This is divine. I can't imagine life without it. And say, can it change? Can it shift? Is there another way of it being? Is there another thought behind it? Is there another way to love? Is there another way to connect? And then the last part is to sit down with your soul and have a little chat with your soul and say to your soul, okay, so you happy in there? And when I was writing my column this week, I was like, I'd gone to see the Jung exhibit. The Red Book is his. Apparently the guy had a nervous breakdown, which I thought was kind of interesting. And when he had his nervous breakdown, or his whatever, he had achieved quite a level of success. He resigned his positions, and he went and kind of wrote in this book for a while, and really delved into the fact that he'd lost his soul. He'd achieved all these things in the world, but somewhere in there his soul had gone missing. So he went on this mission to find his soul. And the Red Book was the vehicle that he used to do it, which includes, it's at the Rubin Museum. And it's never been seen before because the family, I love this part of the story, the family locked it up because they were afraid people would think he was crazy. Because what it really reflects is how he achieved this level of success. And then he said, this is really not meaningful to me. This success that I have acquired and I have achieved doesn't really cut it, you know, like it looks good and everybody would say, gee, you're so successful, but in the meantime, I've lost my soul. So how do I find my soul and get it back? And so the book was his attempt at self analysis, for really lack of a better word, I guess would be the right way to say it. And he did all this analysis with his own mind and his own dreaming and his own visions of things, trying to find his soul. Now, I don't think we're all quite in the same state that he is, but certainly with the collapse of our economy and the collapse of our lives and the losses of our jobs, many of us have lost the things that we thought were the most important to us, that had the most value. And now as we're facing whatever the next chapter in that journey will be, we're also looking and saying, well, gee, I thought this was really important to me, and, you know, maybe not so much. Or, you know, I really discovered what was truly important to me was this. Maybe I need to move forward and start going towards it and give myself permission to have it. And recognizing that that process is part of the journey of becoming a whole person, that we don't always have all the answers, that many times we start our lives, and we head towards the goal, whatever the goal is. And then when we get there, we go, not what I anticipated. And then we continue to look, and we kind of sometimes even thrash about going, well, they always told me that if I got this, I would be really happy. And now that I've acquired this, I'm not happy. Well, what does that mean? And then we go through this, what I call the dark night of the soul, where you kind of say, well, what I've acquired doesn't really match what I thought my life was supposed to be for, and now I'm not happy. And now what do I do? And a lot of times when the motivation piece, the part that drives you towards something, gets turned off or redirected or sent in another direction, we find that we have trouble starting up again because the motivator, the reason why we did it, isn't there anymore. Like, let's say we were always motivated by proving to someone that we could do it. Great. So we kept doing it, we kept doing it, we kept proving we could do it. But then we get to the point where we realize, nobody really left to prove it to anymore. Why am I doing this again? I don't really think I want to do this. And when we get to that point, we lose the motivating factor because the motivating factor was not actually our own factor. It was an external factor that we adopted from someone else to show them that we could do it. And now we're without our factor, the thing that makes us go. We've lost our little get up and go because it wasn't really ours to begin with, because it was from someone else, or it was in response to someone else's wishes or hopes or desires or dreams for us. Now, in my world, I call that a Pluto transit. Other people call it other names. But what it really does is it gets us all very focused on how we create, why we create, what our purpose is. So in this week ahead, what we're going to be finding is the universe is going to be coming to us and saying, so you created something. Are you happy with it? Do you like it? Now that you've acquired it or you've gotten it or you've caught it, is it what you actually want? And if it is not what you want, your job is to say to the universe, yo, you know, I thought I wanted it, but now that I have caught it, I have realized I might have made a mistake, and I'm not 100% sure I want it anymore. Can you take it away and give me something else? Because that's the time we're at now. It's the, what is it you really truly wanted? What's the vision of it? What's it look like? Does it match what you said or what you thought you wanted when you first started on this journey? If it doesn't match, pipe up now. Say, you know what, this looks great, but it's not really what I thought it would be, and I'd like to turn it back in, and I'd like to trade it for the other thing, the other door behind the door, you know, the contents behind the door over there, or, you know, I'd like another crack at it, and I'd like to go try again doing a different way. And that's kind of what the energy of this week is about, too, is understanding that we are in this moment in time. We are entering Pluto in Capricorn. It's here in earnest now. And maybe we did have a vision or an idea of what we wanted our life to look like, and now it's not really matching. And now we're at this crossroads saying, well, what actually do I want? What's the purpose? What's the point? What's the vision behind it? What is the dream? What is my dream? What does my soul want? You know, I thought this is what my soul wanted, but I've found out now that it's what everybody else wanted for my soul. And my soul's actually saying, you know, all I really want is a cup of tea. I don't really need all this other stuff. So it's the question of answering to yourself what you want, what is important to you, what's your vision. And that's the focus for the week ahead. It's a big, big week. We're going to hear of people who have found their dream and then said, you know, I know it looks like a great dream, but it's not my dream. It's not my dream. So we can often find on these kind of weeks that people, relationships end or relationships begin because the dream may have been found again. The dream we never had may come walking into our life and say, gee, hi, I'm ready to be your dream. And you may say, gee, hi, you look like my dream, but are you my dream? I don't know. I'd have to explore you a little bit to see. So it's also a week where you can get offers from people to become your dream. And while those offers may look very tempting, say to them, well, I'm going to take it on advisement. My astrologer said to be a little aware, I'm assuming I'm your astrologer, at least one of them. My astrologer said to be a little aware of people bringing dreams to me and saying, here's your dream. You want this dream, don't you? Because I'm supposed to check them out really carefully this week, because you might be my dream, but you might be something that's parading as my dream, or you might be my dream from when I was 20 And now you're not so much my dream anymore. You're something else. But you're very cute, and you showed up right in time to be a dream auditioner. But I'm not sure I want to cast you in the role of my dream just yet. But I'll keep you posted. So don't be afraid to say that too, okay? If someone shows up and says, let me be your dream, say to them, thanks, that's really cool, but I don't know that I'm ready for a new dream just yet, but I am taking business cards. Let me take your card and I'll get back to you if I decide I need a new dream. So it's a week of really giving ourselves permission to settle into that energy and to say to ourselves, okay, what is it I really want? What is my soul want? And to take the time to listen to the soul. Because very often what we do is we tell the soul, well, okay, now you have to do this, and now you have to do that, and then you have to do this, and then there's this, this, and this, and this. And the soul is very busy, and it doesn't have a chance to say, do we have a plan here, or are you just giving me a list of stuff? So that's the other part, is that maybe you're just giving your soul a list of stuff to do, and it's really kind of going, you know, this isn't really what I want to do. Anybody asking me here? Anybody listening to me? Nobody paying attention to me? I'm not happy. So listen for that part too. Listen for that voice coming in and saying to you, yeah, is that what you want? And recognizing that it may be and it may not be. And that's totally okay. Nothing says that the first thing in the door has to be the one you take. Nobody made that a rule. It's not a rule anywhere written down. It's a dream that walked in the door and it said, hi, I'm applying for the job. You don't have to hire it. You can look at it and say, thanks, let me take your resume and we'll give you a call for an interview and we'll let you know. Don't have to take the first dream that knocks on your door. Okay? So that's the other part of the week. And then the last part of the week is recognizing that because Neptune is going forward again, he's been thinking, because he's been going backwards for like 6 months. He's been thinking about what he wants to talk to you about. And when he shifts directions and starts to move forward, he's going to give you a call and he's going to say to you, you know, I've been thinking about what I want, because he's been mulling it over low these many months he's been going backwards. And he's going to chat with you about what his vision is, what he's trying to get, what he's trying to accomplish. And you would do well to listen to him because he has been thinking about it. He has been paying attention, and he has been trying to figure out what the new dream is now that a lot of the old dreams don't really match his life or his desires or what he wants anymore. So it's a very big week. And I have to say, when Neptune stations, it's always one of my favorite weeks because we really have an opportunity to sit quietly in our life. You know, it's one of those weeks where, for whatever reason, the rain rains and the wind blows and we sit home with a big pot of stew, or we want to hustle home and not think about anything, or we find ourselves really teary, or we listen to really beautiful music. You know, earlier today I was listening to this beautiful piano music. I went on the computer and I just thought, you know, I'm interested in something while I'm sitting here working, doing my billing. I hate billing. But I, you know, it's part of my dream. I have to bill. It's not really part of my dream. It's part of the consequence of following my dream. But so I'm listening to this beautiful piano music, and there was this one piece, and I just was like, so gorgeous. And then I thought I should look at what it is. And then I thought, no, I should just sit and enjoy it and listen to it and not try and figure it out or run it or maybe go buy it, you know, because it's coming over the internet. It's about being in the moment too. So there's a lot of energy this week about being in the moment as well as figuring out what your dream is. Okay, so we'll take some callers. So our call-in number is 347-215-7467. Repeat, 347-215-7467, and we'll just do a quick little summary of the week by moon sign, and then we'll take some callers. And I do see there's a couple on the line, so those of you who called in already, you're going to have to wait one more second because I've been looking at my charts and not really paying attention to the phone lines. Okay, so Monday, Tuesday, the moon's in Taurus, And the moon in Taurus has a closing aspect of a square to Neptune. So Monday, Tuesday, it's really about working on your dreams. That Taurus moon is ruled by Venus. And on at 6 o'clock on Monday night, she has a trine to Venus. Venus has a trine to Neptune. And she's also talking and maybe arguing a little bit with Mercury and the Sun. Because Mercury and the Sun in Scorpio are very practical. And they're like, well, this pays a lot of money and you should do it. And Taurus moon goes, oh, I don't want to. I want to just chocolate and bonbons and love and beauty and grace and fun things. None of this yucky stuff. Tuesday is election day, so it's a great day to get your little butt out the door and go vote. And the moon squares Jupiter, and she also sextiles Uranus and squares Neptune and Chiron. So that's a day when you can feel a little extra emotional, or you can feel like you want your dreams to be real and solid and grounded, and they're not, and you're upset. So you just kind of have to say, okay, I recognize this is a day. Tuesday I can feel a little extra emotions about things. Wednesday is the day Neptune stations at 1:10 in the afternoon. And moon is in Gemini. Moon in Gemini is a chatty moon. And the moon on Thursday and Friday is going to form a trine, more on Thursday actually, is going to form a grand trine in air with Venus and with Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron. And talk to them and say, okay, grand trine in air, let's get this down on paper. Let's get the ideas down on paper, even if we don't know how we're going to do them. That grand trine in air wants action and it wants things written down. The Sun joins with Mercury, and that's what's called a combust Mercury, which means that Mercury is very, very focused on whatever the Sun's ego needs are. It's not a good day for people listening to you. This is, however, a good day for you to listen to your inner voice, because your inner voice is going to be telling you what it sees. Mercury in Scorpio is very communicative. The Sun is in Scorpio right now. The Sun is seeing whether this is a good fit for you or not. Listen carefully on Thursday. The closing aspect for the moon in Gemini, which is Wednesday and Thursday, is a trine to Venus. So it's a good, positive, happy closing aspect. So take advantage of that to get stuff out the door. And then on Friday, the moon's in Cancer. And it is, in this case, it's aspecting the Sun and Mercury, and it's saying to them, okay, well, what is it you're really trying to do? What are you trying to create here? What's your vision? And the closing aspect is a trine to Uranus. What do we need to change to get what you want? And then last but not least, Venus goes into Scorpio that night, Saturday night, making the energy much more passionate, pulsing, throbbing, connecting. The moon goes into Leo on Sunday the 8th. And that moon is frisky. We love a Leo moon. It's just a happy little camper moon. And it joins up with Mars that day, which would start a new cycle. Now, Mars is going to be in Leo for 6 months. And this is the first time moon's been in Leo since Mars has been in Leo. So here your emotions are going to sign up to work with what your go-get-it thing is going to get for you over the next 6 months. So you want to be really conscious Sunday about what you're trying to get and kind of give Mars the go-ahead. This is what we want to get, go get it, because he will go get it. So that's kind of the upbeat uptick for the week. We do want to watch a little bit of stress on November 2nd, because Mars is sesquiquadrate Uranus, and Mercury is sesquiquadrate Uranus, which means Mercury and Mars are in a square, which means we have what's called a fist of Thor or a hammer of God or the right word for it. Basically, you're going to say something that's going to cause a change, and then you're going to go, I really didn't mean to say that, but actually you did, which is why you said it, which is why they got mad, which is why they left. Or you've been thinking it for a really long time, and you've not said it, and now you said it, and now you're in trouble. That's the hammer of Thor, because it's Mercury. Not the hammer of Thor is basically something that goes unbidden, or gets sent by Thor over to break things up. So when Mercury and Mars are square, obviously we say words, Mercury square Mars, that cause a little trouble to whatever the planet is on the back end, in this case is Uranus, so it breaks up things. So think of it as saying something that breaks something up, and that's a good reason. It's a good thing. So be careful what you say, because you are going to be prone to saying things that break things apart. Or you're going to say things that break things into a breath of fresh air. Or you're going to say things that break up relationships. Or you're going to say things that break through to people in a new way that they've never heard or seen before. And they go, aha, but it's going to hit them a bit like a hammer, because the hammer is formed with Uranus. They're going to be a little shocked, or a little Uranus. I don't know, how do we say when you're Uranus? You're kind of goosed into a new vision of the world through some conversation that someone says to you about something that's true, but you never really thought about it that way before. So that's the energy for the week. So now we'll take the callers. Again, the number is 347-215-7467, and this is Ann Ortley's radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where we talk about the weekly weather aspects. Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, Ann. Thanks for talking to me.
Good.
I have a small question, and then I have a big question.
Okay.
My birthday is 5/10/63.
Okay, hang on 1 second. I'm pulling up my software. I didn't have that open. So fire with a question, and then we'll look at the birthday. Or are they both about your chart?
Well, I'm hoping they both show up in my chart.
Okay, cool.
So my husband and I have been trying to sell our house and move.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we want to, not because we need to.
Mm-hmm.
And life is changing. We're sending our youngest off to college in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And ready for some new things and different things, especially in a house.
Okay.
And that hasn't been happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, the big thing, is that Pluto is coming to conjunct my ascendant.
Okay.
Which I'm sure is huge. And
mm-hmm.
I have no idea what to expect from that. I just
okay.
look at it like, wow.
Wow, here comes Pluto.
Yeah.
It's Pluto coming. All right, cool. All right,
Mike.
That is big. Okay, so my computer's up. So what's your birth information?
5/10/63.
5/10/1963.
11:08 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Winchester, Kentucky.
Winchester?
Yes.
Like where they make the rifles?
Yes.
Cool.
Although I don't know that they make the rifles there, but it's the same.
Well, I have to tell you, one of my favorite places in the whole world is Winchester Mystery House in San Jose. Very cool. She built this really wild house because she thought the people that were killed by Winchester rifles were haunting her. But it's like this amazing house. Like, it's a Virgo house, Virgo dream house kind of true. All right, so May 10, 1963, 11:08 p.m. in the evening.
Yes.
And so we're looking for house selling. And you used to live in Winchester?
No, we're in South Carolina now.
Okay, we're in South Carolina. Not a huge difference. Pardon?
Greenville.
Greenville, okay. Not a huge difference, but probably a little bit. When we move more than 500 miles east or west, sometimes our things change. So you move from having a 5-cap ascendant to a 9-cap ascendant. So Pluto's not getting to you for a little while, which is good. All right, so we're looking at selling the house and Pluto coming to your ascendant. Okay, so selling the house, Mars rules your fourth house, and Mars is in Leo. All right, so we do have, and you're looking also to cash out the value of the house just because you can,
mm-hmm.
and that's good. But Mars is opposite Saturn, so that gives a little bit of a block to Mars taking place quickly. All right,
mm-hmm.
so we see Mars, and we go, okay, Mars rules your fourth house. This is the primary home, the only one you have?
Yes.
Okay. So we see Mars getting a fight. Now, Mars is in Leo, right, and it gets as high as 17. So you might get an offer in December, but realistically probably not.
Mm-hmm.
And then December to March, it's going to not no offers at all. And then in March, it'll come back on. So if you don't get any offers, take it off the market because
mm-hmm.
it's probably not going to sell until the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's opposite Saturn, so Saturn's going to give it a bit of a delay. You also have Neptune stationing on the Saturn there,
mm-hmm.
Which kind of slows everything up. So you can get an offer, but I don't know you're going to get an offer for what you really want. When you have Mars get to Mars, which your Mars return happens, normally it's pretty speedy. It goes whipping through a sign, and he gets back to your natal Mars in May, which
mm-hmm.
I think would be you'd really sell it then. So I wouldn't, I don't know that it's going to go. It gets to your natal Mars on May 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I would say fly, you know, because your sun also squares your Mars and the sun's in the fourth house. So it's kind of not a fast time for selling houses. Let me look and see if when you live in South Carolina, if it changes. Nope. So natal chart says you're selling it next spring.
Okay.
Just because, you know, the ruler. And because you do have Mars, Saturn, I would say to you it's 19 to 22 months from when you first decided you would want to sell it.
Okay.
Did you get an offer, or you can get an offer in 19 days, but you didn't get one in 19 days. So then,
no.
Then we're looking at the months. Yeah.
Yeah. And that would fit.
Would that be about 19 months from when you thought you'd sell it?
Yeah. Well, and it's, you know, it's really more about finding the right place to, and
to where you guys want to go next.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The right space.
Yeah. Well, you've got a T-square, it's a little wide, but I'll give it to you. You've got a T-square for sure. You've got a grand cross that's a little wide, I meant to say, because your Neptune squares your Saturn. But that's a little wide, but it definitely does it does work in with the Mars and the Sun. So a lot of times with your chart, there's a thing of I'm ready to go do it. I'm really ready to go do it. But then it doesn't move. But then all of a sudden at like 20 to 22, it goes lickety-cut. And the 20 to 22 can be months, days, years, whatever. So if we're working in a cycle and you've gone past the 20 to 22 days, then mm-hmm. you can know right behind it 20 to 22 weeks maybe, but probably 20 to 22 months.
Okay.
So 20 to 22 weeks would be the one that gets us to May.
Okay.
Right, which is not bad. I mean, it's like think of it as a, you know, the way your chart works is it runs into that little roadblock and then it has to hop over it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that it's a fixed cross, so it is in fixed houses. It's in your, you know, it's in your fixed in your money houses. So real estate things don't always pop really fast for you either, I wouldn't think.
No, it's never been easy. I was thinking maybe this time it would be, and no.
Yeah. Well, it's not that it's not easy. It's just not time to go yet. The universe says you got to sit there a little longer. Besides, the baby's not going away till next fall.
Yes.
Yeah. So you know you don't want to screw up graduation and all that. You got it all set, and then everything's cooked. Next summer you're ready to roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, Pluto to your ascendant. Pluto for you is in your eighth house retrograde. Let's see if it's gone direct by progression. I don't think it would have. It did. Good. Okay, it did go direct by progression. All right. So when Pluto went direct, you had a major life change. And that would have been... Now my computer is doing magic. The magic of... Oops, there we go. Pluto went direct in 74 when you were 11, right?
Oh, okay.
And when Pluto comes to your ascendant, what it does, whenever Pluto does change signs or changes angles, mm-hmm. what he's been doing for the last, since 95, yeah, more like 97... Since 97, he's been lurking in your 12th house. And when he's in your 12th house, what he's doing is he's kind of stirring up all the old secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And you natally have Pluto in the 8th. So you were born, there were a lot of secrets in your home or your house.
Yes. Yes.
So when he comes to the ascendant, what happens is you find out the secrets.
Oh.
It's very fascinating. I've got one client who recently found out that there was a murder in her family.
Wow.
And people ran away from the one town and moved to another town, you know, completely, and then said, you know, if they call, tell them I'm dead. You know, it was kind of like one of those things. And she just kind of ran across this, and it's Pluto. Pluto to the ascendant also very often shows up as, in your case, because it's coming from the eighth house of inheritances, it shows up as you inherit something. Or something comes to you that you go, I don't know that I necessarily wanted that, but now that I have it, what do I do with it?
Uh-huh.
It also shows sometimes as a major job change
because
your source of income shifts. Partner, too, can have a major job change because in his case, work's been hell.
Yeah.
And that'll be when he gets a new job.
Yeah.
Or he stops living in hell. So we think of Pluto as being transformative, but it also is for you, you know, can, a lot of times I see it, people hit somebody's ascendant and they go, okay, I don't want to be, I've been a whatever for all my life, I don't want to do that anymore, I'm retiring. And you just walk away from it. You know, I had one friend who walked completely away, just, that was it, he was done. And now he paints, he does art, he doesn't teach anymore. He just kind of said, I'm finished. So it will, for you, it will be a little while, because Pluto doesn't get there really until next fall. Mm-hmm. And then at that point, your daughter's gone, or right. your last child, I'm assuming it's daughter, your last child's off to school, and you're in a whole different place, and you're going to say, okay, what's my new life want to look like?
Yeah.
I don't think it will be hard, because Pluto for you is not, he has an inconjunct to Jupiter, so usually there's a good news, bad news thing that requires some kind of adjustment. And if you think back between when you were 8 and 9, there was an adjustment you had to make then, maybe around a sibling or a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of what the story is. And so then around that time, you'll be making an adjustment around your home, which would make sense. That would be when your house would sell, because you'd be adjusting into a new neighborhood or into some kind of new housing situation.
Mm-hmm.
Make sense?
Yeah. I mean, in fact, one of the things we were, you know, thinking about doing with the house is downsizing a lot so that we could have it paid off quickly so that the husband could get out of hell.
So, yes, because the husband needs to get out of hell. He totally
yeah.
does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that may be a really nice thing, because the money comes in, it saves a lot. And your chart does get a little nervous about, you know, not having enough money with Saturn in the second house. So part of it is money is freedom. And so what you're really doing is you're offering freedom
yeah.
by selling the house.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm not going to say it's not going to sell. You know, certainly try it. If your birth
mm-hmm.
time's off, could sell tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it really does look like it's probably more next spring.
Yeah.
But
well,
I think what you have the opportunity to do this fall is to really work on your financial program and your financial plan and figure out what you want to do.
Yeah.
Because Mars is going to be in your fifth and your eighth house, and also what your husband needs to feel comfortable to walk away, because he's going to be getting madder and madder and madder as this hell thing goes on.
Yeah. We're actually, you know, the money thing has been, it's been good. And if the
mm-hmm.
house was out of the way, there wouldn't be, the house is like the only thing we owe on right now.
Right.
Other than
mm-hmm.
trying to help kids get through school.
Okay.
And we've been trying to sell the house for a year now. So
mm-hmm.
it's already been, you know.
You've already got your 12 months in.
I got 12 months in.
All right. So 22 months. You're there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
20 to 22. Yeah, I mean, right. for you, recognize anything for you that's of a fixed nature financially, it takes a while for it to get off the ground. Because
uh-huh.
your chart is going to proceed cautiously because of the Taurus sun.
Yes.
You know, it just doesn't go fast. Some people can put their house and it's gone in 3 minutes. Your chart doesn't do it that way.
Yeah.
Because what you do is you value your, think of what Tauruses are here for.
Right.
They value their assets. And they go, well, I can let go of it, but I know what I have. Why would I let go of it? Because I have this. You know, it's like a bird in the hand. So
mm-hmm.
they really do have to kind of, especially if it's a house with a lot of memories.
Yeah, it is.
And you raise the kids there. So what I would do is really take this time and make it be like, okay, let's clean the house. There's a great book by a woman named Denise Lynn called Sacred Space,
mm-hmm.
where she talks about clearing the energy and clearing the house out and, you know, releasing the energy from it and saying it's a wonderful house to raise the children. And as that chapter of our life comes to an end, you know, the kids are kind of launched. Now we're ready for the next chapter, which is playing and having fun and
mm-hmm.
having a little more flexibility to travel and stuff. Let's give ourselves that and create a space. And she's got procedures on how to kind of clean the energy out in the sense of, you know, the supportive energy you keep, but the energy that makes you hang on to things. You know, how to release that so you can get it to move. It's a great book.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Sacred Space by Lynn.
I've been promising the house a really nice new family.
Yes. We won't sell it to anybody mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very hard. It is very hard. And also, if there's any, you know, with you know, and I mean this in a kind way, your husband's kind of attached to it, too, in his own way. A lot of times when it's a house that's served a lot of memories,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's hard to let it leave because it does have a lot of memories in it.
He doesn't leave anything easily.
He
hangs on like crazy, even people that he hates.
I know.
You know, it's just like you need to pry him out of
right.
any place.
Right. So if he's hanging on to a job he hates, imagine how he hangs on to things he loves.
Yeah.
Like a house. You know,
yeah.
even if it makes sense and even if it's logical and even if it's, because again, we're speaking to the emotional component of it. And it's, you know, emotions are very strong. They run very strong in your family's chart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I'm very excited about secrets coming out with Pluto, because
I
never thought I'd really find them out.
Oh, you can totally. This is like, you can go digging around. There's this wonderful stuff on Ancestry.com. Put your family in it, like, links you up to all these strange people you never knew were your relatives. So it's very cool. And also in your case, it's, you know, it's secrets that are, they're on paper someplace.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So when you find the papers, that's where they are.
Okay.
Yeah, go look for papers.
I'm very excited about it now.
Yeah, papers and little collections of things.
Okay.
So kind of, you know, how the Virgos have little collections of things. They're in the little collections. So.
Okay.
Yeah, no, totally. Very cool. We love it when the secrets come out. Those are good ones, too, let me tell you. You're going to be going, oh, my God, what a great secret. So it's very cool.
Okay.
And you got a little hint of them this last year, right? Was Saturn going through that 8th house?
You know, I've flat out asked my mother,
mm-hmm.
and she claims, you know.
She's never going to tell you.
There's nothing there.
Huh?
She claims there's nothing there. I keep saying, you know, something must have happened. I know something had to happen. And
mm-hmm.
she's like, nothing happened. But there's a whole lot I don't remember and have never remembered.
Okay.
And.
Yeah.
All right. And, yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah. Totally. You can stir those little pots. Yes, totally. Yeah, no, it's definitely there's something popping out. Good.
Okay.
Saturn, Pluto to your ascendant brings the secrets out. Because what it does is it can do a couple things. It can either show it as a repetition, meaning you run into it again in another story
mm-hmm.
that you get involved in, or you find the things that prove it happened. The other thing you want to do is cousins or people, siblings, if you have older siblings or cousins or relatives know about it. And they may pipe up if you talk to them at a funeral.
Okay.
You know, like if somebody dies, kind of go, oh, you know, do-do-do-do, and kind of pump a little and stuff pops. Because if somebody passes, a lot of times the secrets pop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chat up relatives at funerals, yeah.
Okay.
Or if you run into them in general, you know. But there are people that know about it. But it is in paper. It is on paper someplace. So. Very cool. Yeah, definitely. No, we definitely. Yeah, and Pluto to the first. And then what happens is, you know, because it's been murking around in that 12th house for so long,
uh-huh.
it integrates on a different level. It comes in and you get it. You kind of go, oh, okay, got it. It's in. I get it now. And it makes everything fall in place and makes everything make sense. I had one woman who had this, and she got a call from her grandfather on her 18th birthday. Saying, hi, I'm your grandfather. You don't know about me, but I exist. And she hung up and she said to her mother, so I have a grandfather in New York? And her mother goes, yeah. Because she was 18 and now he could contact her.
Yeah.
And so she then came up to New York to meet him, and she said, and it made my whole life make sense.
Oh, wow.
Because I put together all the pieces that have been left out. So you just keep digging. All that Virgo stuff can definitely find it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Let's try the next one. Hello. How are you? Hello? I hear adding machines or something. Did everybody hear an adding machine, or is it just me? Hi, I'm there. Hello, hello. Hello, hello. Oh, well. Forward we go. Okay, folks, so we're getting to the end of the show, and we are now towards the end of the weekly Blog Talk Radio. Hope you have a great week, November 2nd to November 8th, and that you really enjoy it, and that you really work with your dreams, and you try and figure out what they are and what that new dream is, because the old dream's kind of shifted, doesn't really match what you want anymore. It's totally cool. You can completely change your dream. You do not have to keep the dream you had just because you had it. You can say, you know, it was a great dream, got me to here, not working for me anymore. Time for a new dream. And that's totally cool. Go for it. The other thing is when Venus goes into Scorpio next Friday, all sorts of information comes out. And Mercury this week is very, very chatty. He's talking to Mars, and that square goes to Uranus, so there's a bit of a breakthrough coming. So pay attention to what the breakthrough is that comes through on the full moon or the day after, and kind of see it for what it is and go, oh, that's my breakthrough, changes my worldview, because it very well may. And that's what's going to happen this week. This is Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, and I wish you a great week with lots and lots of wonderful astrology. Take care. Bye-bye.